This is GamesAtWork.biz with your hosts, Phaedra Boydaviris, Sandy Carney, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe. This is your weekly podcast about gamification, gaming technology, and play. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, not of any organization which we have been, are, or will be affiliated. This is episode 71, Grinding at Work, and was recorded Friday, the 3rd of January, 2014.
Happy New Year, dear listeners. It's another episode of GamesAtWork.biz. I'm Phaedra Boynadiris, and I'm joined here by my co-hosts, Michael Martin and Michael Rowe. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey, Phaedra. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I'm missing the balloons dropping on my head, but that's okay.
Confetti. Virtual confetti.
Well, we're off to a bang, aren't we, with to continue the metaphor for just a moment, for another year with you. We're missing our co-host Sandy, but we're hoping that we will be at full strength shortly, and we've got a fun show to start the year with you, starting with some games that we've been playing. Keeping busy. So, Michael, you had some games that you were playing over the break, and one of them is near and dear to my heart.
Too many games over the break. I learned about a new game called Clumsy Ninja, which is the awesome, which is a freemium game where you have this ninja, and he's kind of clumsy, and you train the ninja by throwing him at the wall and making him be dumped in baskets and basketball, and I mean just all kinds of crazy stuff, which is just too cool. Of course, in the true model of a freemium game, they want you to buy things to speed up time, because after you use one of the little devices, you have to repair it, etc. But it's the cutest little game, and I am having so much fun. We were visiting with some family members, and their kids were playing this, and said, "Oh, you haven't played Clumsy Ninja?" So of course I had to. The other game I've been playing in true Games at Work fashion is the, what's it called? It's Real Racing 3, which is loads and loads of coolness and fun on the iPad and on the iPhone, where you basically are doing stock car racing in such a way that you are competing against your friends in non-real time. And what I mean by that is you have your race and you end up racing against your friends' times, and they show up on your track, and you're literally racing against each other, and you can knock each other off the track, etc. Loads of fun. What else? Other games I've been playing, I have been playing too many games. How about you guys?
Well, Phaedra, what about you? What have you been playing?
Well, let me just remind everybody, I've got a 3-year-old and a 9-year-old. So the games we were playing over Christmas break included Apples to Apples, Cranium, but I've got to say, a lot of Building Blocks and this really cool marble roller coaster thingy. But on New Year's Eve, I did manage to play Blackjack, like the honest to God, and Blackjack with the cards, and then Texas Hold'em. Of course, I got completely creamed by a 12-year-old. I had a mountain of quarters, because of course we were gambling for luck. A mountain of quarters. I ended up with 2 nickels at the end. I got cleaned out. I was not happy. Not happy.
So, did the 12-year-old wear glasses? Mirrored glasses?
No, he looked all innocent. But then, of course, you know, he kept
looked innocent.
He kept putting the coins in his front pocket and patting his pocket. And, you know, it would jingle and he would look at me kind of like, yep, you sucker. See, it was bad.
You funny.
Well, I've been playing with my kiddos that are close to that age range too, Lego Hobbit, which was a fun little game where you have to go find the dwarves. and constructing the board was something my kids enjoyed doing. I've been playing some of the free things that have been coming from the 12 days of gifts application from Apple. So I really have enjoyed the Jewel Thief. It's a neat, it's from Rovio, isn't it, I think?
What's that? We didn't get that one over here.
You didn't?
No. What day was that?
I don't know. It was an early day.
Huh. I don't remember that one.
Yeah, well, it's pretty cool. So I've enjoyed playing that one. It's a puzzle game where you're this little thief and you got to sneak around past pirates and things and collect, you know, icons or apples and do various problem solving. It's very, very, very cute. And you have to save your ferret.
Very cool.
You know, so you don't win unless you
save
your ferret.
Well, you have to save the ferret.
Yeah.
You have to save the ferret. Come on.
So I've been enjoying those too. So it sounds like we've been all having some good times with various games that we've been playing. And
yes.
We've come across some ways to play existing games that were super cool as well. So this Omni environment just kind of blows things out of the water. How did you stumble upon that, Michael?
Yeah, you know, we've been trying to get our various social media sites up to speed, and we've got our Google Plus page. Actually, we have two of them right now. We're trying to clean that up and hook it up to YouTube. And I was just, you know, subscribing to some of the people that I tend to follow, and I saw a 10-minute video that Robert Scobel did with the CEO of Virtuex, which is the company that creates this Omni device. And this was a Kickstarter for $499. They have a 360-degree treadmill with a harness that attaches to your waist that is then tied into the examples that they have is a bunch of first-person shooter games. So you take that, you add on a Oculus Rift headset,
right,
and you have a fully immersive virtual environment first-person shooter game with stereoscopic 3D glasses. And to walk, you are literally walking on this 360-degree treadmill in any direction. So as you're running across the battlefield, you are literally running in your house without going anywhere. They put this super slick content on the shoes. So the shoes are slick. The treadmill is slick, kind of like a slightly bowled shape. So there's no moving parts, but there's sensors everywhere. So you have full 360-degree movement of your legs, the lean of your body, and with the head tracking coming in through the Oculus Rift, you have full 360 degrees of your head too. So if you play first-person shooters, one of the great things is kind of the strafing shot where you're running one direction and leaning over back and shooting another direction.
Right.
This allows you to do that physically with your whole body. Very, very, very cool. And I could not believe it was, you know, it's under $500 for this device.
I didn't watch the full 10 minutes, but I did take a look at the Virtuix site and I watched the video there of the guys playing Minecraft.
Yes.
And I thought that was, you know, it was extremely slick. And, you know, one guy saying to the other, hey, let's go look over here. He's like, oh, you have to jump to get up on those blocks. And, you know, the guy would have to jump in the environment to go up the blocks.
So yeah. I was amazed.
I loved it, too. I saw the video where it was showing Skyrim and walking around and interviewing the different guards.
Oh, I didn't see that video.
It was really, really impressive, truly impressive. And I was just thinking, man, I could get back into RPGs. It's been a while since I get sucked into the RPG vortex, but I feel like I'm just sitting on the couch or on a desk chair for hours and hours and hours. But getting up and using something like that, I think would be phenomenal, especially if you could somehow blend it with the arm movements. I think we had mentioned right before the call, RPGs and casting spells. If there was an integration with Kinect or something like that where you could cast spells and then walk around, and I think that would be cool.
Or even cooler, you know, the demo that the Emotive headset used to do where they would think a spell So you have the emotive headset, the Oculus Rifts, a Kinect, and the Omni platform, and you can do full motion thinking spells, three-dimensional walking in 3D view. This, you might as well just have the suit. Give me the suit, man.
The suit. Yeah, because if you've got the suit on someone casts a spell in your direction, you get electrification.
Or it pushes you back against the thing, which would then cause your feet to move, which would cause you to walk backwards.
That could be pretty cool, too.
We're getting there.
With the feet, though, could you tell if – I mean, I know they're wearing special shoes or socks.
Yeah, but shoes.
Do they lift their feet, or was it more like a skating kind of a thing?
It did look a little Harlem Shuffle-y there.
Yeah, it was kind of a skate move. But I guess you would have to lift because – and I'll rewatch it, but you have to lift because – otherwise, you would stay in one place because the way the sensors would read, right?
I go forward, I go back. Yeah.
Right. You would sense the forward-backward motion. So it's got to be a lift. I'll have to double check.
And it's a bowl that was so you kind of do go up and then slide back to your standing point.
Right. So that was cool.
So wacky thought, and I don't have an answer just yet, but I thought I would ask you guys, maybe we'll brainstorm on this. How could you use something like that? I mean, people do walking desks at work, but how could you use something like that for a work activity? You know,
I think what would be really cool, let's change this completely. You know, we have this deluge of email. Yeah. What if you had to walk a certain distance before you could send an email? Are you going to walk a mile for an email? Or are you going to make like Mr. Chesterfield and satisfy?
That could be kind of fun. I mean, that's a nice riff off of the "Are you too drunk to text?" you know, kind of application where you have to do math before you can do a text.
Oh, that would be great. Are you too lazy to send email?
That's funny. How do we integrate that with social? Let me see. So, in order to join a community, you've got to do 10 jumping jacks and a few push-ups.
So you have to really want it.
Yeah. And in order to actually post would be, you know, only a 100-yard sprint, but to comment, this would get rid of all the spam comments or the snipey comments, you have to walk a mile.
I like it.
Yeah, that could be fun. That could be a lot of fun.
That would be awesome.
So kind of moving from a really fun thing to kind of a sad thing, Michael, you shared with us an email notification from the Virtual World Association, and it was not the happiest news.
Yeah, they've been around for about 5 years. I think if I remember correctly, they started in 2008, right at kind of the peak of all the virtual world stuff. And, you know, at the time I was working pretty heavy in that space with doing work and research at IBM. I was actually one of the founding members of the group. And they're closing their doors this month. The Virtual World Association is going to be no more. And it is kind of sad, but I think the other interesting part about it is when we look at some of the ideas and concepts that were talked about from a Virtual Worlds for Business perspective, many of those have been picked up and are being used in things like using gamification in business. I mean, Phaedra, some of the stuff that you've worked on where you're actually using gaming platforms to provide business process optimization capabilities, it didn't turn out exactly the way the Virtual Worlds guys thought it would, but it's matured to the point where I don't think it necessarily needs that one-off separate organization anymore. And it's part of a larger whole of using that technology for business purposes. So it's sad to see it go. It was a pretty good community, but I think it's time to move on.
Served its
purpose.
Does
this mean, do you think this means that, you know, there isn't going to be a resurgence of interest in virtual worlds? Is this a sign that it's dying off as a channel?
No, I just think that it's when you think about building a community, you build a community around ideas, actions, common interests, and the virtual world community and activities, many of them were built around a technology. Yeah. Technology changes. And the ideas and the value that we got of them have been realized in newer and upgraded technologies. Mm-hmm. Whether it's, you know, mobile or augmented reality, et cetera. And virtual worlds were just a one piece of that larger value that people were trying to get to. So, like I said, I think it's not a bad thing. It's not that it's over. I think it's just matured into a new space.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We had a pre-show conversation a little bit around the notion of games and business, where many of the business activities for economic profit are very similar to what in the gaming community is called grinding. These are repetitive actions and activities that, as you go through them again and again and again, you're generating value that allows you in the game to do the next set of tasks, or in the business world, you're generating the revenue that's required for the ongoing advancement of the concern. So something that struck me over the break was that there are some long-running games that I find myself drawn back to on a regular basis. So some of them are casual kinds of games, like we've talked about The Simpsons Tapped Out a ton of times here. Some of them are a little more, or less casual, but they're repetitive and they're fun to play again and again. In my book, those are sports-related games because the outcome of a match is never known from the start. The people and players and so on change, but there's still fun in that. And I wanted to have a conversation with you both about the nature of repetitive actions, things that draw you back from a gaming perspective, and how some of those things could be applied more and better in the 2014 world to draw more energy, attention, effort from the employee and user population, customer population, to continue playing those games that are generating economic benefit.
Yeah, so I was thinking about this too, Michael. And one of the things, when you think about the grind and how you do the grind in order to achieve some additional value, right? So let's talk about The Simpsons, right? So you can pay into the game and get the giant tower of popsicle sticks, right? Or you can grind raising money in the game and then have the giant tower of popsicle sticks. Well, once you have that, well, let's say that's the most valuable, coolest thing in the game. It's over. Game over. Unless you just really like the environment, you're gonna stop playing that game. So the game makers introduce the next whiz-bang cool thing. Say it's the giant reflector magnifying glass that's going to burn holes in part of the building or part of the city. So the grind is a mechanism in games to give you something to do while you go for the next carrot that's dangling out ahead of you. So from a business perspective, yes, you may have to weekly provide your TPS report, and that's a bit of a grind. But you actually aren't doing the TPS report for the sake of the TPS report. There is some other value that's going to be perceived beyond that the grind is getting you to. And that is just a consistent heartbeat or drumbeat of an activity that you must do to achieve that larger value. For example, it may be your year-end bonus.
And just to add to that, I know we've talked about this at length on previous shows, but this idea of cultural adoption of playfulness, and that for organizations that really are ready to embrace gamification, it needs to be a wholehearted effort, not just let me allow my employees 30 minutes to go do this side thing. it if they want to take it seriously and have this be something that really changes the way people think about work, think about their priorities, think about career management, then it needs to be seriously integrated into the work environment. And just to give you some examples. So the grind, the concept of how is it that you can ensure that an employee is engaged on the 75th hour of being on calls with customers as they are on the first hour. It means that the games that are used to keep up that engagement has to be integrated into what they're doing with these customers. It's not just this, here's this thing that's going to remind me, 30 minutes in on the fifth week out. It's something that's a constant. And so to pull that off, you've got to have cultural buy-in from the organization.
So I like the thought very much, Phaedra, and I'd like to focus a little bit more on that playfulness and that cultural change that gets us there. Because this is something that, Michael, I think you and I both recognize and we see in the Simpsons game, which has a lot of grinding to it. So, yeah, you get a virtual thing at the end of a long slog, of which could be days and days and days worth of clicking on buildings to generate the in-game currency that you can now buy another in-game virtual building that will generate virtual cash or just right. sit there. But the thing that kind of grabs me is this playfulness angle, Phaedra, where in the Simpsons game, I always look forward to a little bit that I get to see the wit and the writing of the Simpsons cast and characters doing something kind of silly. In fact, even most recently, making fun of the developers of the game itself. So I kind of wonder how that degree of playfulness and self-deprecation potentially can have a role in how businesses could say, okay, yes, we know it's time to update your skills, or yes, we know it's time to get the TPS report out right now, but there's something funny, maybe something slightly unexpected, or maybe it is expected, but it's a little bit of a different thing that draws you to it, and you say, well, I want to do it because I want to see that thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the way to approach this is think about how games are already doing this successfully in the realm of entertainment. So when you want to nurture your character in a game, when you want them to adopt a certain kind of skill, what is the experience and how is it that that could be mapped to the real world? That's how I like to approach things. I mean, because there's so many great things that games have already done for entertainment. So what is it that can be borrowed without having to recreate the wheel?
Well, I like that too, because games along these lines have been used for ages in terms of sales contests, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But the fun thing here is you don't have to give only your top salesperson a television set. You know, you can create a structure where there's virtual elements of value. And actually, again, I hate to come back to the Simpsons game so frequently, but one of the things that it has done around certain events, you know, like the holiday season, is not only do they have rewards for the individuals to achieve certain goals and objectives at an individual gamer level, but they've got community awards that when the community as a whole does something right or well, then it comes back as a reward to all the players in the community.
Yeah, I think that's a really cool feature that they do. And I think you're right, Michael, from a social perspective in a business environment, improving individual skills in an individual in the corporation is a good thing for the individual, but you want to kind of lift the whole organization up. So there, those group skills or those group challenges, I think, are a great thing to think about when building that grind into work.
Another interesting thing is how can you use modern technologies and techniques to visualize something that hasn't been visualized before? So for example, and this could be yet another layer of engagement. So for example, with sales, if you have to sell something to customers online or on the phone, right? How is it that you can use some kind of visualization technique to be able to gauge the level of engagement of the person on the other side of the phone? And how could that be mapped to a game? That, I think, just that visual cue alone might be enough to keep people interested. Like, wow, you know, how do I amp this up? How do I keep my voice modulated in such a way to stay in the green zone? I think just that visualization also would help to retain people's interest.
Ooh, Ms. Cotta, I got an idea.
Ms. Cotta.
And this comes from the Kinect example, right? So the Kinect can determine, based upon surface temperature of your face, how engaged, blood rate, et cetera, that you are. Can you imagine doing something along those lines that is turns into biofeedback for the person who's doing the activity that says, yep, you know, you're drifting down into the lower realm here. We need to do something to kind of help your performance get back up into the right zone to let you move forward. So anyway... I think we will probably close it right about there. It's the start of a new year. It's the start of a lot of new ideas, and we're eager to try a few of our own here on gamesatwork.biz, and we're looking forward to continuing to interact with you, our listeners and audience. You know, let us know what you want to see, what you want to hear, and your ideas for the panel, and we will be kicking them around.
Absolutely. And don't forget to follow us on all our usual places. Go to our website at www.gamesatwork.biz for a full list of how to reach us.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you guys again soon. See ya.
Thanks. Bye.
You've been listening to gamesatwork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at gamesatwork_biz or at our website at gamesatwork.biz.